Welcome to STFU Radio. I'm Dr. Loxy2A.
And I'm XDTel.
That song we just played for you was called Zombie Nation by Kerncraft 400. So, starting off, so in this show we're gonna like, I've cut down the news a bit because we're going to have a little section near the end about how to run Linux as an effective desktop without X, just running purely out of command line. And it's actually pretty awesome and, like, okay to do. Alright, we'll go to some email right now. So last show, we got spam about the whole thing where we had to, like, get some money for some weird person in, like, some, like, South American or French country or something. So now we got, like, the exact same email, but it says it's from a guy this time.
Really? Yeah, that's funny.
Odd.
Yeah.
It's kind of amusing in a bit, but yeah.
It's kind of sad that that's what you're running on, that you've actually put that in your email section, running a little low on your email section there.
Yeah, pretty much, but all right. But we do actually have some real email this time. This one is from PFI, and he says, "Talk with some feeling, man. You're monotone, but I love you anyway." And then he tells me this. Oh God, I've become like a homosexual, like.
No, it's okay. We can leave that to Trump.
Idol. So, and he says to say, "For shizzle dizzle, I got your complaints right here. Hold up hand in clenching position. All of you bitch izzles can go shove it up your ass izzles. Because I be the doctor up in here, and I don't need your shit on my show. Fuck yeah." I don't think he wanted me to say it that way, but it all works.
Yeah, it's okay.
I can't speak like a gangster.
Sure you can.
But yeah.
Yeah, but then you.
Okay. Yeah, Negro. Just like going like, yeah. I like bust caps in yo ass and.
Yeah, Kobe doesn't play that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys don't have that commercial, do you?
Commercial?
No, okay.
Okay. Alright. Also, yesterday, wait, no, not yesterday. Okay, it's Sunday today. So on last Friday, I finally got to 2600 meeting. I've been meaning to get to them for like fucking forever. And yeah, so I went to the San Francisco 2600 meeting. It was pretty awesome. Yeah. I was like the youngest guy there. So that was kind of weird, but I met some cool guys. Like,
I went to the
I like. Huh?
Oh, okay. I went to the Tampa 2600 meeting too. My friend crashed us. He took me in his car, and we went. And there's also these DEF CON people that got mixed up over there, and I was the youngest person out of everyone. Those times, but it was still cool.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Like, I was going around looking for it for, like, I don't know, like a half an hour, and I was, like, standing around this place wondering where it was, and I was, like, it turned out I was, like, a couple feet away from this guy that I've talked to on IRC, like, all the time. So that was kind of amusing. Met a lot of people I, like, had already been talking to on IRC, like, face-to-face, and met some new people, too. Yeah. So it was pretty awesome. If you haven't been to a 2600 meeting, then go to one.
You meet a lot of cool people there.
Yeah. Alright. So we're going on this next song. It's called Before I Collapse by Eminem and 50 Cent. It's pretty cool. Enjoy.
See you, Nick. 50 Cent, Shady, Aftermath, the Dream Team. We gotta get the Get Well card. Niggas are sick. Feel it. Motion picture shit. Now don't think I won't hit you cause I'm popular. I got a P90 Ruger to pop at ya. Catch you slipping, I'ma give you what I got for ya. My clip loaded with 16 shots for ya. Never had a hot gun on your waist and blood on your shoe, cause a nigga wouldn't say the wrong shit to you. Homie, you ain't been through what I've been through. You not like me and I'm not like you. I'm like an animal with it, when I spit it, it's crazy. Got semi-autos and bullholes and niggas tryna play me. One shot is not enough, you need Lisa Uzi to move me. After four bottles of Dawn, the kids start feeling woozy. I write my life, you write what you seen in gangster movies. I'm gangster to the core, nigga, you can't move me. I find my face at the top, I got this rap shit locked. I never heard of you, you heard of me, I murder you. Spray shells to your convertible, Lotus, you know this. Rich or poor, hollow, still go through your door. This is raw, you're scared of me, you're not prepared for me. The kid is back. 50 Cent, I know you like that. Yeah, I know you like that.
Comes off, till the lights go out, till my leg give out. Can't shut my mouth, till the smoke clears out. And my high her out, I'ma rip this shit, till my bone pull out. Till the roof comes off, till the lights go out, till my leg give out. Can't shut my mouth, till the smoke clears out. And my high her out, I'ma rip this shit, till my bone pull out.
Welcome back to STFU Radio. We're going to go into some news now. Not as much as the other episodes because we don't like want a two-hour show again because that's pretty damn long and most people don't like to listen that long. But yeah, so first email we're going to talk about is Gmail has integrated virus scanning into their thing, and apparently people are complaining a bit about it. It's like, there's the main complaints there are is that the scanning feature can't be turned off, and it also blocks all executable file attachments, and Google will not say what the vendor is that is providing the antivirus technology.
A lot of developers and people that report the viruses and everything getting really pissed off because, I mean, they need to send the attachment for all the, for everything they need because they need to send it for their work, and people are getting really pissed off about it because, I mean, that's what they have to do. And they can't even turn it off. They can't even know what it is, and it's really pissing people off.
I'm thinking, wouldn't it be pretty easy to, like, just zip an executable or, like, change the .exe file extension to, like, JPEG and then just send it?
In the article I was reading, it says this guy was like, he's like, there's been some stir about some just changing it and then changing it back. He's like, well, I don't have the computer knowledge to do it, and I shouldn't have to. I should be able to turn it off. But there's many ways that they listed to get around it.
Yeah, that's where Google is your friend when Google is your enemy for some odd reason, but yeah.
But it's still your friend.
Yeah, the search engine will be your friend in going against the male thing. Yeah. I mean, like, it's better than having no virus protection at all, really. Like, if I had to choose between virus protection that was far from perfect or no virus protection at all, I'd choose virus protection any day.
I think Google should have a cool plugin where you can use your own virus protection. Wouldn't that be pretty cool? I feel like use your own open sourced, like open AV or something. That should be a cool plugin they should have.
I mean, I don't think you really need a plugin for that. Like, you can just download the file and then scan it before you, like, run it or whatever. But, yeah.
Not true.
Okay. So, next news. The Free Software Foundation is going to begin the process of rewriting the GPL. You can introduce this one.
Oh, well, it's been 15 years since they actually changed it, so, I mean, this is kind of big. They started it in which year? They started it in, I believe, like, 85. So, then they changed it in 91. So, it's been a pretty big gap for them to change it again. And people are looking actually looking pretty forward to seeing the new GPL. And I forget the people that are supporting it. They're looking forward to it. It was Red Hat, of course. Then there was HP and IBM, I believe.
Did you ever catch what the reason for redoing the GPL was? Like,
no. I believe I read like three articles on it. It doesn't even explain it.
Yeah, it's like, there was nothing really wrong with the GPL-2 from what I saw. I mean, like, yeah, the GPL-1 was just like Richard Stallman, like, writing it himself, just from his own thoughts, I guess, and then the second one in 91 was him with advice of lawyers and developers. So I guess maybe GPL-3 is just to have the rest of the world in on making the GPL
maybe
or something.
And maybe it's just publicity. It's probably also pissing off the people who just bought the GPL version 2 shirts. publicity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and they are planning to go and have people look over it at this conference at MIT later this year or so or something.
It's in the middle of January 2006.
Yeah.
At MIT.
So yeah, going on. This next news, Intel is teaming up with people like TiVo and a bunch of other like media companies and stuff to create this thing called not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but Viv, it's spelled V-I-I-V, and it's like an entertainment PC platform. So it's supposed to be like a home entertainment system for doing like movies, music, video games, and home photos. And so I guess since TiVo's in on it, you'd be able to like record stuff like TiVo off the, when you like onto a hard drive from TV, and I don't think it says who else would be here, but it says there's it has companies for films, music, television, and video game publishers, so that's pretty awesome. That's a lot of cool stuff you could do with that.
It's still Intel.
It says it's a collection of its dual-core microprocessors, chipsets, software and networking capabilities. And it says that PCs based on Vive will work with high-end monitors and a TV-like remote control. And it will be available in the first quarter of 2006. That's pretty awesome.
Yes, more finger hacking. That's just a lot of cool stuff you ever do. Probably put Linux on it pretty soon.
I don't know. With a media thing, you don't really want to put Linux on something. I mean, I don't know.
Sure,
for my
you
Christmas.
Do, just for the fun of it. They have Linux on the Game Boy. That's fun.
Yeah, I guess. If you don't intend on keeping to use it for media, from my experience, Windows has always been better for media than Linux has. I don't know, maybe other people have seen different, but no, it's just me. Yeah.
So I have another one about the 2008 Olympics are in Beijing. They're actually want to go open source completely. So that'd be pretty. Am I on? Yeah. That's gonna be pretty cool because, I mean, it's open source, and they said they're having doubts because it's still open source and they need to work with it first. But it's 2008, so they're gonna have enough time to play with it. But also, it says they have 450 Intel-based servers and 4,700 PCs and 700 printers. I believe I'm reading the right article. They need to make all open source. So, but they're also being, they're very happy for it because, I mean, they're saving.
Yeah, they'll save them a fuckload of money.
Yeah, I mean, and then them using this, they're using, so many licenses, it's not even funny.
Yeah,
that'd be good. I have another I got off Slashdot. Slashdot's a great thing. It's a very, very good place. Even though they don't really have articles, they have little smidgens of paragraphs.
They got links to articles, you know, so.
Well, there's a thing called Auto Package. Auto Package is aiming to make one type of, it's a universal, or it's a universal package manager, so, I mean, you'd be able to use it on any system anywhere because it kind of sucks when you have an RPM on a system that doesn't have built-in stuff to change RPMs. Luckily, Slackware has a RPM to TGZ, but, I mean, I'm actually looking forward to it because you kind of get pissed off and you can't find the package you need. I mean, you also always have source code, but still, it's also nice to have new things.
With this, it's like, there's a good part of it where, you know, it's a package management system that'll run on, like, anything, so you can have package management on stuff that doesn't support package management, but, on the other hand, you've also, there's, like, too many package management systems. There needs to be, like, one universalized one, like...
Well, this is what this is aiming at.
Yeah,
by the way, this is autopackage.org. If you guys want to see it.
Yeah,
cool,
but
website.
See, there's like a crap load of stuff out there already for package management. I mean, how would auto package get to be the universalized one? Like, if anything, RPM's starting to be the universalized one. Like, I don't know, I've been seeing a lot of stuff like adopted that. Fedora, Red Hat, of course. SUSE has it. Slackware has some support for it. So, you know, but... Yeah, if this
well,
could
still,
become
it's
one.
It's still another attempt, which is good. I mean, there's got to be one. It's got to be true and blue all the way through. It's got to go all the way through, and maybe this is going to be it.
Maybe.
There's so many things, so it's always good to have more.
Yeah. All right.
Do we have another one?
Nope, that's it. By the way, just remember that InfoHack, the magazine that me and Exotel are starting, needs your articles. We've only gotten submissions from Standard Air, and we've been writing stuff. It's kind of almost done, or like maybe halfway. So, yeah, if you've got anything, send it in. So let's go on. This next song is called Maria by... Scooter, and like most people have heard Zombie Nation, you've probably heard this, but it's still awesome, so you'll still like it. Good. Here it is. SDFU Radio. We're going to go into a topic about how to run Linux as a desktop purely from command line and actually have it actually be like a good desktop and like useful. Because like I remember when I ran off a 10-year-old computer running Windows 95. That was my computer before I got my like newer one. Now it's a server, but it would probably still be out in this room, like, running as a desktop if I'd known, like, how much you could do without X. So, for people, like, there's some pros and some cons. Like, the good things about running without X is that it saves a ton of system resources. Like,
crazy.
Like, your computer won't overheat at all. Like, because all it is like, well, no, but as far as the display goes, all it is text, which doesn't take up much memory at all or anything.
It's
so it puts more
on,
toward the processes.
Especially if you're on KDE. I mean, the two things you should really look forward to are changing to something else besides KDE. I mean, GNOME still, I mean, it's still better, but still eats up processes. So, especially
yeah,
if you're on KDE, really look into this.
Yeah, desktop environments take up a crap load of, like, system resources all the time. And then another pro is that it's way faster since you're, like, not spending all that memory and stuff on display. You're spending it on the processes that are actually going on. And also, you learn more. Like, if you're just, like, dragging stuff with the mouse and, like, clicking stuff, you don't actually mess with the system really that much. But from command line, you, like, see everything that's going on. Like, you type in all the commands that, like, your mouse clicks would, like, activate and stuff. So that's pretty nice, and you become a little leader. And with that little bit of leetness, you also get that little special leet feeling from running in command line, which is always nice.
Definitely. There's also a lot of good, the tools. I mean, you're going to think that the tools are going to be really stupid and you're not going to like them at all, but reality, these tools are actually pretty nice.
Yeah. And on the flip side, you can't do movies or very visual games, really. And it's not for people who really need a pretty visual. But if you don't care about those things, then you're all good to go. Actually, you can view images, kind of. So, amazingly enough, just trust me on this, we'll get into it later. But no movies. So you got to find programs that substitute for the programs that you use in X. So what I did was I pretty much thought of all the programs that I would use on a regular basis and found substitutes for them. And first thing I thought of was a web browser. So, like, in X you would use, like, Firefox or Conker or something. In command line you can use Lynx or Lynx. They're pronounced the same, but they're spelled differently. First Lynx is Links. The second Lynx is Lynx. And
Lynx is better with the K. Very much
yeah.
better.
So, and they're text-based web browsers. So you can't see any, like, graphics or anything. But it's still pretty good. Like, unless you're trying to, like, go on, like, do an image search on Google.
Wrong.
Yeah. But see, you can view images. So remember that. So there is still prod. So if you're just trying to, like, get information or, like, most of the things that you can do on in graphics with web browsers, you can do on Lynx. And second thing I thought that I use a lot is IRC. And with IRC, the main thing, one of the best known programs is IRSSI, IRSSI, and it's a command. It's really easy to get IRC on command line because that's what it was originally in, and then they adopted that to a Windows system later. So it actually is pretty much just the same as if you were running IRC in X. That's pretty leet. And also, if you really want to, instead of using a program for IRC, you can use Telnet, really. I guess that's a program, but, with Telnet, you would just, like, Telnet to the server port 6667 or 666. 8 or 6669 or 7000, those are the four ports that are pretty much used by IRC. And it kind of has some special commands in Telnet to do it. Google for those. I haven't used Telnet to do IRC in a while. Some people will tell you that it's like completely not possible, but it's actually okay to do Telnet with IRC. It's not that hard, but because I used to do it a lot, but yeah, the only difference really is you have to stay there. You can, like, if you walk away, you'll be disconnected, because what an IRC client does for you is every time this server pings you, you have to respond with a pong. The IRC client does that for you, but when you have no IRC client, you got to do it yourself. But yeah, okay. And another program that a lot of people use on a pretty regular basis is instant messenger programs, like AIM and like stuff. I can actually would use GAIM or Copete or whatever. Command line, you would use you could use something called NAIM, which is an NCurse's AIM client, and you can like run AIM in command line. It takes a little getting used to, but once you get used to it, it's really good. They also have the NICQ too, which is an ICQ client for NCurse's. So you can log on to both AIM and ICQ. I haven't found something for like Yahoo or MSN Messenger yet, but they're probably out there and I just somehow missed them. Also, and another important thing is or thing that people use a lot is P2P clients. Because you always got to get your illegal music and porn and stuff. So, you know, who could live without them? But, so, one of the best ones that people like a lot is called Gift. And it's a pretty awesome command line P2P client. It connects to a lot of different, P2P server things. Like, it can connect to Nutella, OpenFT, the Kazaa thing, that's Fast Track, I believe. Can connect to that. It can connect to OpenFT as well. And that might be it. There might be one more, but so basically connect to like 80% of the P2P in the world. And so, yeah, check that one out. It's pretty awesome. If you like, some people use Gift even in X. You can get GUIs for it, so people use it in X all the time just because it has so much support for different P2P networks. Actually, same goes for IRC. I know a lot of people that use IRC from like when they're in X, just like through a command line window all the time, just because they like IRC so much and it's as good as like any window program you can get. So, and then for another P2P thing, for the rest of the P2P, the extra 20%, BitTorrent, you can there's this one called RTorrent that is fairly good. It's pretty much just like any other BitTorrent client, so, and you know how that is, so, nothing much to say about that one.
None.
So,
what do we have next? Word processing?
What?
Word processing next?
Sure. Yeah, and then, for word processors, like, you gotta have your word processors. There's a lot of those out there. Most people know of them. The ones that will pretty much come with any Unix system that you have, V or Vim. Vim is just, it stands for V Improved. It's a very powerful text editor. Like, it's not like OpenOffice or anything, but like, if I'd run like V any day over GEdit. So.
People also say VI, just so you can know how it's spelled.
Yeah, so VVI, same shit. But, yeah. So it takes some getting used to if you don't get it already. But, yeah, once you get it, it's really powerful.
You can change the file extensions to virtually anything, and it's really crazy all the stuff you can do with it.
Yeah.
It's pretty powerful, but it takes a lot of getting used to, like, control all these buttons to save or something.
Yeah. And then, all right, so next thing we're going to talk about, Joe, it stands for Joe's Own Editor, recursive acronym. And, I don't know, it's not that popular, because, but it's an okay thing. It just, I use it on my Slackware system, just because that's what Slackware installed with it, so I never really bothered to install anything else, and it's decent, not really the best thing out there. Try it out, maybe you'll like it, like, over other stuff, but, yeah. And then, after that, there's also, we're going to combine the two, Pico and Nano. Nano is pretty much just a Pico clone, but they're both really good.
Pico
so,
is awesome.
Yeah. I haven't actually used Pico, but I've used Nano, which is pretty much, like, the same. So, yeah.
Before we finish this section, I just pulled up how to print in Linux from the command line, because that's what me and you were talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah,
didn't
yeah.
Know how. The command is the LPR file, whatever the file is. I mean, it's if you already have everything configured for your printer. And LPR minus capital P, and then your printer, and then your file. If you guys need to print from command line, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, we were talking about earlier for the listeners that how like none of these these programs actually like had an option to print from a printer, but so now you have how to do that. So yeah, and then last thing, Emacs, it's pretty awesome, but pretty complicated too, so not for if you're going to write, like, an essay for English or something, but, like, if you're going to edit some, like, code or something, then Emacs is what you want to do. Same with V, but, yeah. So next type of thing, so for music, I mean, who can run their computer without having songs playing, like, 24/7? So, for that, there's MPlayer. This is also one of those programs that people use even when they're in, when they're in, X, because it's still awesome. And there's a GUI for it in X, actually, but, it's kind of is limited and sucks, but, so most people just run in a command line window if they're running X, and, like, it, plays both movies and, audio, but, of course you can't play movies in command line, but, it plays audio in command line, so it's a really awesome, thing to use in command line. I use it in, when I'm running X, I use it all the time, like, over anything else, so.
You guys, by the way, people think you're confined to whatever, like, if you're using all your media players or whatever you're using, and command line, you're not only limited to that. If you press Control-Alt-F1 or Alt-2 or F2 or, all your Fs, it usually goes up to 4 or 5. You have a different shell. You have a different, prompt. So you have to log in on each different one.
It goes up to 6, I believe. Yeah.
Well, I think 6 is X.
No.
Well, I don't know.
Not.
Okay. So you can run your media players, but you could also be editing your files and writing your paper for English and looking at images, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. For games, there's also the what's called the BSD game collection. It's not, it's kind of like playing games on a cell phone. It's not that good. It's not like you, they're not, if you're really into games, you don't want to run out of command line, but if you just play games every so often, you can use those. They've got like Tetris, they've got that Japanese like board game Go.
That's a fun game.
Yeah, NetHack, and a couple other things. So if you're not really, don't really play games that much, but if you like sit on the bus and like play like Snake on your cell phone, like, then BSD game thing is good for you, because I mean, they're pretty addictive games too. So like those games you'll be like, I have to beat my score,
with NetHack. NetHack is really fun.
Yeah. Okay, so then we've been talking about how you can do image viewing in Unix or Linux, and you have to get a library for that. It's called libcaca, caca spelled with C-A-C-A. Yeah, it goes and apparently converts like images to ANSI, ASCII, whatever, image. So it's not really like the full like image with like color and all that good stuff, but it's like pretty cool that you can view images like at all. So yeah, it might be kind of weird if you're like trying to look at prawn or something with ASCII, but it's all good. Yeah. So check that out just to like prove that you can view images in command line. Then also for CD burning, there's this thing called CD record. Fairly obvious name, but yeah, and it does a good job of burning stuff. It does ISOs, does like audio CDs, and so it's all good there with CD burning. So, and then for CD ripping, there's a couple of programs. I've seen this thing called Jack, something called ABCDE, and CD Paranoia. So I couldn't actually get Jack or ABCDE installed because they sucked like that. So I don't know, maybe if you install them, maybe you'll like them, maybe you won't. I don't know, because I haven't been able to run them. But yeah, CD Paranoia does a pretty good job. It goes and takes everything off the CD and puts them to .wav files. And I guess you can just turn them and convert them to MP3s or whatever later if you would like. And so you've got your CD ripping, and that's pretty awesome. Like, so you could use all those programs. You've pretty much got everything you used in X on command line. So, and that's cool.
And there's many more out there. Just keep on searching, and there's so many things that'll blow your mind. There's probably some movie command line thing out there you just don't know about.
Yeah, so if I like forgotten a thing, like if there's a program that you use a lot that we didn't mention, or like you know a command line program that we didn't mention that you think we should, then you can just email us stfuradio@yahoo.com. We'll mention it on the next show. Yeah, also, if you've got one of those, some Linux systems like, like Gentoo and, Slackware, they, automatically go into, command line, don't just auto start from X. But there's a lot of like the distros go into X by default. So if you want to boot into command line, you have to go into your /etc/init tab file, open it with like V or something, and then you go to the part where it says something like default run level, and it, if you boot into X, it should say 5. Go and change the 5 to a 3, because default run level 5 starts into X, default run level 3 goes into command line. Don't change it to 0 or 6, because that'll like, that's like the power off and reboot things. So, you know, that wouldn't
That'd
be good.
That'd be fun to do someone, though. That'd be fun to do someone, though. guys, just start X. It's the command start X. So if you put it that way and you don't know how to get into X, type start X. I have a few more commands and programs to add.
Alright.
If you have someone logged in on your box, I was talking to Standard Air earlier, and he did this, and it was kind of funny. You type dd if=dev/u/random /of=dev/pts/whatever it is. Usually it's one if you only have one person logged in. This will completely mess up their screen. It keeps on... I don't know. It's kind of a cool program.
Amusing.
And Netcat. Netcat, I mean...
The ultimate telnet client.
Well, he says it's the TCIP Swiss Army knife. He says you can listen on any port, connect to ports, you can do combined things. He said, just to mention that because it's really great.
Yeah, it's like Telnet on steroids.
Well, not
only Telnet. Without, like,
it's,
going...
It's anything.
Alright, except, like, not going into, like, the, like, whole thing where you, like, change your gender, like, sex change. But, you know, I don't know. I heard that's a, like, effect of doing steroids. So don't do steroids, kids. Okay, so... only if you actually care about what your body looks like. I don't. But, yeah, so let's go into this next song. This next song is called Hardcore Techno. I like downloaded this a while ago. I didn't actually find a name for it, so it just said Hardcore Techno. So I'll just assume it's called Hardcore Techno. And it's by DJ Gizmo, Buzz Fuzz, The Prophet, and Dano. We'll be right back. back to STFU Radio. We're going to go into some shots now and then wrap up the show. But first, Estelle was telling me to say this in the news, and I just went on to the next song. So in case you didn't notice, I changed my handle to Dr. Locke Z2A. Just added a name on there, so it sounds more like
John Locke.
An actual kind of name-ish. Yeah, John Locke, like the philosopher guy after that guy, because he was pretty elite.
Revolutionized our world.
Yeah, so, alright, so shouts. So, I'm going to give a shout-out to the guys at San Francisco 2600, because they're pretty cool. And, like, yeah, especially to, F. Penguin, who else, Fu, what was it, Defaulted, and Wireman. I met them, they're pretty cool guys. Yeah, so, shouts to all of them, because they're awesome and elite. Alright.
Me?
You got your shout? Yeah.
Okay, I have Standard Air, and you guys should check out Standard Air's BBS. He wrote it from scratch, and it's actually pretty cool. You guys should check it out. tinyurl.com/A4 ketchup for holler. Yeah. That's a 84K4H. You guys should check that out because it's really cool. He coded it by hand. It's in C. And it's a great thing. Okay, Crash Dust, because he's the one who actually brought me into the scene and started me with Linux. So, and he's taught me a lot. And so is Standard Air. Binrev, because Binrev is like the mother of all. I mean, it's the best because you go to Jinx and you go to DEF CON and they're just people that are like, shut up, noob. And Binrev actually tries to teach you things. And Digital Galileo, because he kind of gets screwed over by this guy, this prick, and he set up a war game, and the other guy just DOS'd it to death. So he had to, he went through so much hell and almost got his internet shut off. So shouts to him too.
Yeah. Also, I'll give a shout out to Slicko, GMAD, and all the other guys who are on BaseNet Radio, because that show's really awesome. I dig it. It gets me through, like, the day, and it, like, brightens my day. So,
I have one more. If you guys go to google.com/Linux, it's Google's Linux search, so it'll help you find stuff without having to filter through all the windows and everything else you might get into if you want to find your programs. So,
woot, shouts to that. Alright, so that's it for the show. Have a nice night, and see ya.
Or day.
What?
Or day.
Or day? Yeah. That works. No. Every single person who listens to this listens to it at night. No. You're wrong.
Come out at night.
Yes. You're just, like, wrong, dude. Okay. I'll, like, shut up now. This next song, your song, you introduce it, man.
Oh, it's from Jane's Addiction called Jane Says. It's a good song. Here it goes.
So, yeah, dig it, and good night.
Tomorrow.